It is January 17th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading series at education.johnlothiannews.com. This newsletter is all about managing non-price oriented risk. I used to have a lot of trading related risk when I was an online futures broker and actively managing money as a commodity trading advisor. Today I have different kinds of non-price oriented risks to manage, ones that would fall into our wellness exchange section, COVID-19 and cancer. I tested positive for the virus on Friday, and in December I learned I have prostate cancer. The COVID-19 case is mild as I am double vaxxed and boosted. The prostate cancer is localized and small but aggressive. I began treatment on Saturday for the cancer diagnosis. To read the rest of this commentary, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and take comments from JLN. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day in the U.S. today, with banks and the NYSE and NASDAQ markets closed for the holiday. Here is the CME Group's schedule. There's a link in today's newsletter. Here is the story from Fortune about what is open. There's a link in today's newsletter. Lord Paul Miners, who was city minister in the UK Treasury under Labour Prime Minister Gordon Brown, appointed to the position as the financial crisis of 2007-08 unfolded, has died at the age of 73. He was appointed to the House of Lords in 2008 as a Labour peer. Miners also served as chair of Guardian Media Group. If you think a lot of people seem to be getting hired in crypto land, you may be right. According to a story in The Block, LinkedIn reported a 400% increase in the number of crypto-related job ads in 2021. The pandemic has been good to the 10 richest men in the world, according to Oxfam, with their wealth collectively doubling since March 2020. The BBC reported. At the same time, lower incomes for the world's poorest contributed to the death of 21,000 people each day, Oxfam's report said. The report used the Forbes list of the world's 10 richest men, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Bernard Arnault and family, Bill Gates, Larry Ellison, Larry Page, Sergey Brin, Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Ballmer, and Warren Buffett. Oxfam is a British-founded confederation of 21 independent charitable organizations focusing on the alleviation of global poverty. For what it's worth, Oxfam also reported that India's richest doubled their wealth during the pandemic as well. The New York Times has a story titled Davos Without Davos. For the second straight year, the World Economic Forum canceled its annual meeting in the Alpine resort town of Davos, Switzerland because of the pandemic. I think this story was written because someone bought a plane ticket and had a hotel reservation and wanted to use them anyway. Connor Weber, a director and assistant general manager at the CME Group, is the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Connor joined the CME from Bank of America and was previously at Intercontinental Exchange. Thank you to Connor and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history and educate the next generation of industry professionals and market participants by supporting our GoFundMe campaign. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From the spread, Coinbase purchases Farex, NinjaTrader acquires Tradovate, UBS faces legal battles. Alex Perry's Optiontopia takes a look at this week's options news highlights, which includes Coinbase's purchases Farex, NinjaTrader's acquires Tradovate, and UBS faces legal battles. Futures exchanges as hot commodities is the theme of John's take. Tom Jark of MyEx explains V-spikes. You can view the spread on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from The Guardian. Trading is gambling, no doubt about it. How cryptocurrency dealing fuels addiction. Fears rise over how unregulated trading and promotion of crypto assets are creating a new generation of addicts. Stephen has lost more Bitcoin than most people will ever own. Raised on the remote Shetland archipelago, he left school at 13 to become a trawlerman, before moving into construction, eventually earning £85,000 a year digging tunnels for Crossrail. Despite his self-made success, compulsive cryptocurrency trading, alcohol, and drug use took over his life. Amid the fog of multiple addictions, he lost the addresses of between 5 and 10 bitcoins, rendering his digital buried treasure worth up to £300,000 today impossible to retrieve. My comment, this is a serious issue. I expect we will see more about this aspect of cryptocurrency trading. Here's a story from the FT and Robin Wigglesworth. Ken Griffin, financial prodigy turned industry giant, Citadel Securities deal is latest in string of successes for controversial hedge funder. Nearly four decades ago, the South Florida Sun Sentinel profiled three precocious members of the Boca Raton Community High School's computer club. While their classmates were shooting hoops, the disk drive-driven trio were prepping for a problem-solving competition with other Palm Beach geeks later that month. My comment, Ken is the anti-Elon Musk. Musk sold all his real estate. Ken keeps buying more. I bet Ken can throw a better party, though. Here's another story from the FT. Afghanistan's currency crisis leaves millions at risk of starvation. Afghani has fallen 25% against the dollar since the Taliban seized power in August. Afghanistan's currency has plummeted about a quarter since the Taliban seized power, exacerbating an economic crisis that has left millions of people in the import-dependent country facing starvation. The Afghani has fallen to 105 per dollar from about 80 before the hardline Islamist group's August victory, making it among the world's worst-performing currencies over the past 6 months. It is second only to Turkey, where the lira has been battered by Recep Erdogan's unorthodox economic policies. My comment, the question is, how will the world respond? Here's a story from the New York Times. Crypto enthusiasts meet their match. Angry gamers. Game publishers are offering NFTs, but skeptical gamers smell a money-making scheme and are fighting back. For years, Christian Lance has played Stalker, a first-person shooter game set in a post-apocalyptic Ukraine that became a cult hit for its immersive role-playing. So when the 18-year-old high schooler heard a sequel was coming this year, he knew he had to buy it. My comment, the only thing worse than a gamer is an angry gamer. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was Inc's The Scientific Reason It's So Hard to Make Friends as an Adult and What to Do About It, which was also our top story on Thursday. Second was billionaire trader Paul Tudor Jones rings the bubble alarm, warns the Fed could tank the economy, and predicts pandemic winners will struggle, from Business Insider via Yahoo News. And third was SIBO Europe, Euro CCP partner with Free Trade to give UK retail investors commission-free access to pan-European markets, from the Trade News. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. From the Wall Street Journal, London Stock Exchange produces special listings for private companies. It would be the first exchange with a hybrid model in which private companies periodically access public markets in days-long trading windows. The London Stock Exchange, or LSEG Group, is seeking to blur the line between public and private companies, part of a plan to attract fast-growing technology firms to list in the UK in the wake of Brexit. The LSE has proposed the creation of a special market for private companies to trade their shares publicly on the exchange on certain days, according to a person familiar with the matter and proposals from the LSE to its regulators, the Financial Conduct Authority, and the UK Treasury, seen by the Wall Street Journal. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. Day traders as, quote, dumb money, The pros are now paying attention. Last year, an army of day traders turned markets upside down. This year, professional fund managers are finding that they had better keep tabs. Last year, amateur investors took financial markets by storm. This year, Wall Street professionals are watching them closely. Fund managers who might have once derided small-time day traders as dumb money are scouring social media posts for clues about where the herd might veer next. Some 85% of hedge funds and 42% of asset managers are now tracking retail trading message boards, according to a survey by Bloomberg Intelligence. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company in September introduced a new data product that includes information on which securities individual investors are likely buying and selling, as well as which sectors and stocks are being talked about on social media. About 50 clients, including some of the largest asset and quant managers, are testing the product, the bank says. JP Morgan equity traders are also using it to help manage their own risk. And finally, from the FT, Lord Paul Miners, former city minister, dies age 73. Assisted in Gordon Brown's billion-pound bailout for UK banks in wake of financial crisis. Former Labour minister and city grandee, Lord Paul Miners, has died at the age of 73, his family has confirmed. In a statement first published in the Guardian newspaper, his family said that Miners died in the early hours of Sunday morning. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.